Welcome everybody to the Spawn of Me podcast. This is episode 192 of our show. I'm your host, Khalif Adams, and I'm joined this week and every week with my man, my mellow, the smooth kind of fellow. He is not here this week. Cicero Bartholomew Holmes, we wish you lots and lots of love. See, you taking the week off and hanging out and chilling and all that good stuff while here slaving after this computer. Nah, we love you. We'll see you next week. Also hanging out with us, chilling with us, rocking the microphone. It is my man, my mellow, the smooth kind of fellow, the man who makes new emotes look suave. It is that man, Sharif Contangelo Jackson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. And even though C is not here, I can still hear his voice. I feel like his voice just resonates all throughout. So I definitely hear him still screaming about something. Shout out to C. And yes, it's been a good week, man. Like it's been some weird, like hot days and cool days and kind of back and forth. So, you know, as you guys know, I'm a tutor, so I'm going from house to house. There's a lot of sick kids and sick parents because the weather is going back and forth. So I'm just trying to maintain it, and just rock these vitamin C pills and keep it moving.
Yo, people have been the worst at work. People have just been on some, like, I'm going to just do drive-by coughings and just be like, ow, ow, just roll up on people and just walk past them and sneeze and don't hold their mouth. It's gross. I'm just like, what's wrong with y'all? Have you no manners? Have you no couth? No couth? Anyway, we are also chilling with the Duchess of Diversity from I Need Diverse Games, from All the Dopeness, from the Dope Packs panel that we put up on our YouTube channel. We have Cypher of Tier, Tanya DePass. How are you doing, Tanya? What's up?
I'm good. I'm commiserating with you on all the technology issues after upgrading my video card and having all the weird-ass stream problems.
Oh, my God. It is. If people didn't... I wish everyone could, like, see my face when I come back home on a, like, right after work on a Thursday. Because it's literally like if you had like the Roadrunner feet in the cartoon, me trying to run through and fix everything that's kind of broken because Windows is a son of a mother sucker. I don't know. I hate it.
Thanks for losing that endorsement, Kyle. Thanks.
Sorry, mother suckers. I apologize. You meant Windows. Yes. I thought you were talking
Bill
about
Bill Gates listens to our show and he's going to be like, damn it.
Wait, hold on. Wait. I just noticed something. Tanya with this dope ass Twitch mug. Dude, she just taking sips off this Twitch mug, just chilling with this dope ass Twitch. Okay, fine.
And the bag behind me.
Look at it.
I mean, she gave a dope Twitch talk, so she deserves a dope Twitch mug.
You know? It's true. It's true.
Let her cook, man.
can people find that on the I Need Diverse Games Tumblr and things?
Yeah, it's my pinned tweet. I put it up on my site, which is cyphertier.com, and I'm trying to get the actual video or see if I can download it from the Twitch office page and put it on my YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fantastic. Again, like, if you haven't seen that, you need to go check that out. Because Tanya killed it, as usual.
I will give you a link.
Yeah, word. Link that in the chat. We have to thank everybody again for hanging out with us this week. Everyone who's watching us on Twitch, everyone who's listening to us in podcast world, for listening to us this week and last week when we had Ben Hallmiller on the show, who hung out with us from the Madden team and talked about a lot of cool stuff. Like, I think with this week having all the political drama around the NFL and all the kneeling, standing, sitting and crying and whining from sides that deserve to shut the hell up. It was really cool to kind of have Ben on the show to, like, you know, give some perspective on just how some of the workings goes on with the NFL and things like that. So, and with the Madden team as well. So, you know, shout out to Ben for one, listening and hanging out with us for as many shows as he has for being a listener of the show. He's like a legit listener of what we do. So that's amazing. A couple of quick announcements. We are almost at 50 subscribers. Oh, wait a minute. We just hit 50 subscribers on our Twitch channel. So that's awesome.
Sweet. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you to everyone who's helping us out on that end and supporting us there. We just got our emotes up. All of us have an emote, which is super dope. We also have like two slots, actually, because you usually get five as soon as you become a partner on Twitch. So we don't have one that's being used in that allotment. And since we just hit 50, we get another one. So what I would love and we would love is that you kind of tell us what you want as the next emote. I have an idea for one that I kind of want to do, but there's another slot that's open that I would love for people to kind of just share about what they want in Bracago, about what we want. I saw Deanna, Nani J. Cool on Twitter said that she wanted a thrust or bust or a thruster as one of our emotes. And I don't know if that just looks like a end of a blunt on fire. I don't know what that actually looks like, what a thruster emote would look like. But it would be pretty cool to have that be a thing. So again, everybody, thank you so much for all that stuff.
Wouldn't that violate the TOS?
What, the blunt or the thruster?
The blunt.
I've seen so many random ratchet ass emotes on Twitch. I see stuff that I don't know should be on Twitch. So I think there's like fornication emotes and a whole bunch of other stuff with cartoon characters doing things to other cartoon characters' bodies. It's nasty.
And there's also like an emote of Paris Lilly from Gamertag's face.
And which should be banned.
Banned as well.
Wow. That should be banned be banned from all things. Yes. I agree with that.
We should ban that.
Yeah. If next time
ratchet emotes.
Ratchet emotes. Word. We should figure, you know what? That should be the tag. No, that should not be the tag for our emote.
No.
It should be hashtag SOM SOM emote.
No.
We'll make that the
No, we need a ratchet hatchet. That's what we need.
Oh God. Ooh, that would be so many things that get cut off of that. I don't know. That's like this the sponsor me sponsored by Cardi B. Like, no, I don't want this. Look, almost made I almost spit out.
I hate you right now.
I mean, we can try to get her as a guest. You never know.
What would we talk to Cardi B about?
I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm probably
making money move, man.
Went to a place that she used to work at once, but that's it. Look, I don't know.
Don't be shaming nobody.
I'm just saying, there are a lot of people. Nobody. There's a lot of people that have gaming backgrounds, you know? Like, you never know what people do in their spare time. When they out on tour, you know, they might be gaming in their little tour buses, man.
I want to know what gamer score Cardi B has. I want to know what her favorite, like, gaming achievement would be.
Dude. Don't put it past her, man. I'm telling you.
I'm not telling you. Hey.
People be gaming.
There's a lot of people who I think would be in like, non-conventional gaming circles that I would love to have on the show. Like, I want to have some more, like we talked about it last week. I would love to have some NFL, NBA sports players on the show. I would love to get some political people on the show to talk about some gaming stuff. You know, there's a lot of people who I think we don't think of as gamers or people who play who would definitely have fun on Spawn
on
the
show. That's what I'm saying.
I know who'd be cool to have is
who?
The senator or the representative that spoke at PAX West about gaming.
Oh, I can't remember their name, but I know who you're talking about.
And I'm blanking on the name too, but our friend Jessica Price did the intro, and Mike Selinker, who runs PAX Dev, did the interview.
Okay, yeah. I mean, hey, we might be able to reach out to those folks and see what the deal is with that. So maybe. That's the thing I really want the community to kind of go after too. Is like, if there are people who you want to have on the show or people that you think we're missing, we had a really good email this week from a listener who is basically asking us on the heels of the PewDiePie discussion if we had other people from overseas who are on the show to listen to, or who want to talk about this kind of stuff too, because he thought, you know, he didn't say that anything was kind of missed in translation, but he was wondering if some things that were kind of missed in the grand scheme of things. And it was a great email because the problem I told him, I was like, the logistics are really hard for us to get people overseas because of the time differences in the times that we actually record. So usually anybody overseas, we do that stuff on the weekends and it's hard to even do those. So word, we'll figure it out. Keep telling us who you want.
I mean, we like have had our share of overseas guests though. So like they, and like they have added some great perspective. I mean, like, you know, like we, you know, Jay from Black Girl Gamers comes to mind in the UK. Mm-hmm.
And Madiba.
Exactly. And I know we had Mike Bithel on, you know, who actually I think we need to get on again.
Yeah, we definitely have to get Mike Bithel back on.
Because Subspace Circular is a pretty dope indie game that they just surprise dropped.
Yeah.
And his podcast is actually doing really well as well. So
yeah.
You know.
Well, speaking of that, let's kind of dig into the meat of the show. And I know that we've all been, again, playing a whole bunch of stuff because the 2017 don't stop. 2017 is the Diddy of gaming. Can't stop, won't stop. It continues to just push out content as much as any Bad Boy album in 97 or 98,
that's maybe. Right.
I did not have to walk over a bridge to get these games, but I'm sure many other people did. If you get that reference, then you are down.
Yeah, that's right.
Tanya, I know you've been playing a whole bunch of stuff. What have you been playing and sharing on your streams and things?
Let's see. I played a very cute game called Luna and the Moonling. It's an indie game by Graveborn Studios. It's adorable. It's a platformy, puzzly game, and you are a little brown girl, so that made me happy.
Nice.
And so they reached out and they're like, here, we want you to play it and enjoy it. And then they gave some keys. And so we actually did a giveaway on the I Need Diverse Games channel. And it was cute. I'm not the best at puzzle games. I got real frustrated because the build I was playing hadn't updated because they realized how bad that section I got stuck on was, but I got past it. Destiny 2, obviously. Malvent in the chat and I have been playing that. I've been trying to get my light level up to do some of the raid stuff. And then I thought about your tweet, Khalif, about the raid. And I was like, how much free time do I actually have?
Yep.
Wait, what tweet was this?
When you're talking about the raid and the length of the raid or something.
Basically, it's like if I think what I tweeted was something to the effect of like we were running and trying to get people to go and play and it just took so long for us to get to the parts that we needed to get to that we wound up just kind of stopping cuz we just didn't have enough time.
Yep.
And you have to dedicate a significant amount of time, especially if you haven't done it already.
Yeah.
And you're either trying to Sherpa someone through it or you're trying to figure out, you know, who are the people who you want to kind of jump into the fray. It's really hard to like do that thing the first time. And you need people and you need time like set aside to like get it done. So, yeah.
Yeah. And like it's a mechanically difficult raid. So even if you have watched videos and stuff, if you haven't done it, just doing it is still hard.
Yeah.
Like even if you know on paper what to do, the actual act of doing it with a group of people is not easy.
And interestingly enough, there was a conversation I watched Andrea Renee, shout out to what's Good Games and their outfit over there. And she ran that thing for almost 8 hours and didn't finish it.
Damn. Woo! That's like a job.
And it's like a job. So the weird thing was like Reef was saying, the mechanical part to the actual raid is once you've gotten it down, it gets easier. Mm-hmm. The problem is the raid is glitchy. So it does stuff that will just kill you. And then you've wasted another 20 minutes to try to get back to that spot that you were in to get things done.
Nah, man.
So it's like that compounded with other stuff. It's like it's super fun. It's a lot of fun once you get it down, once you know the steps and you know all that stuff. But like a simple glitch in the game will ruin your whole run.
Nah.
Or at least the part that you're on right now, it'll ruin that part and you have to restart it, which is not dope at all.
Nah, yeah. I'll miss me with that.
Yeah. Also, I haven't done the whole raid together. I've done like different parts of it, and so far, they've changed. I guess how loot drops in the raid. I mean, it used to be in Destiny 1 where you do one part and you're almost guaranteed to get something that is way above your current light level.
Right.
That'll boost you up to be able to, you know, to get higher and have more success the next time that you do it. So far, I think I've gotten about maybe 5 or 6 raid chests.
Yeah.
And it's been shaders and these tokens that you exchange after you finish the raid.
Right.
So it's been really weird, like that, like sort of like carrot of like, well, I might not beat the raid, but I'll try it so I can at least get some gear to be better isn't really there. So it's like kind of a different take on it. I'd be really curious to hear why they made that decision. But the raid itself is like fun. Tanya, I definitely can't wait until you get like up there, because I think we should all try to run it together.
I'm dying for all of us to actually run it. It is going to be so dope when we actually get a chance to do it.
That can be our stream on the channel that's not the podcast, and then people can feel sorry and send us pizza. Like, you need food.
That'd be awesome.
You need food. That'd be awesome.
Everybody subscribe so we can buy pizza.
We're gonna need like that and a significant other cam that just looks right. just has a camera on the other person in our lives looking at us like we're assholes.
No, it's just
spending
like
this much time in this thing.
It's just like it's 2 a.m. I'm going to bed. I don't know what you're doing. Yeah,
but here's the thing. Well, go ahead, Tommy, because I'll
you'll start talking about Destiny, and then it'll just be a Destiny show. We'll summon Paris.
He would appear. He would actually appear.
But no, the other thing I've been getting back into Mafia 3, but then XCOM 2 War of the Chosen.
Oh, nice.
Man. XCOM reminds you how very little you know about strategy until your whole team gets wiped out. And you're just sitting there like, everybody was alive 5 minutes ago.
Now, is that like a standalone, or is it like DLC for the XCOM 2?
You can play it by itself. So I've got a bunch of mods installed. So for me, I got to go to the mod launcher, but then I choose War of the Chosen. And you start off kind of the same, but then you start getting missions that turn that content. So you start getting more you get 3 other factions, you get like former Advent soldiers, and you get 2 other factions that will join you, and you get like stealth missions and some other stuff, and like this ridiculously OP enemy that pops up, and she's like, I'm just gonna murder y'all in one hit, peace out. And I was like, I saved Scum so much today, it was shameful. Team wipe over and over on the same mission.
Oh god. So wait, because I have not been an X-Clan fan. Cessor will come out and stab
summon
me for
Adam
that
Cessler
one
now.
Cessor will come and stab me for that one. I have not been an XCOM fan because I've really never got into kind of the turn-based gameplay. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit of 1. How has 2 been, you know, different than the first game?
Well, it's definitely more strategy-minded, but it's not super punching because I'm playing on like regular difficulty. I salute anybody that can do Iron Man because ain't gonna be me. but the difficulties are there, but it's learning like any other tactical game. You gotta learn the best soldiers take, you know, your loadout. And I actually like those kind of games. I know people think I just like RPGs, but I can sit there and play XCOM. I had a game once that lasted 140 turns.
What?
Sweet.
Yeah, so
holy crap.
This was the original DOS XCOM though, because an alien soldier got scared and ran under some stairs, and because he was facing the bottom of the stairs, nobody activated him. And so I literally had to clear the map till I found this one alien hiding under the stairs because he was like terrified. But nobody until we actually found him, and then it was just like, okay, I shot him. We're done. I'd spent 4 hours looking for you.
Oh, snap.
That is so funny. Yeah, I actually want to dig back into XCOM. I played XCOM a while back, and I picked it up on a Steam sale. I haven't really gone back to it, but after enjoying like Mario and Rabbids so much, and like so many people have made XCOM 2 comparisons to it, it really, I think I am. Once this crazy backlog of this year kind of dies down a bit,
man.
I think XCOM 2 is like going to be one of those games that I jump into once I sort of get out of the like 2017 war on gaming. It's a war on gaming.
War on my wallet, more like.
Oh my god! What else are you playing, Tanya?
Let's see. I dipped back into Agents of Mayhem, and I really just been enjoying Mafia 3, replaying it, doing all the stuff that I'd skipped the first time. And this sounds terrible, but I kind of enjoy the reactions of people who've not seen the game before.
Yeah.
And because I did the mission where you content warning, you lynch a dude off of the Ferris wheel.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I'm terrible. I enjoy their reactions.
I saw you post like the image from it. And it immediately brought back all the emotions I had from that mission. Because I was kind of going through it when I was playing that. Because some messed up shit happens before you actually do that.
Yep.
And, you know, like one of the genius things about Mafia 3 is, you know, when you start a mission, you see the title. And it's not always clear how the title ties into the mission. Mm-hmm. And with that one, I was like, pray on the way up. What does that even mean? And I was going through it. And then at the end, when he says it, you're like, oh, shit. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, should I feel bad for, like, being excited for doing this horrible thing to this person? But, you know, it's just, man, what a great game. What a fucking great game.
Like, how that game still just feels like such an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. That game was done and that game was made and all that stuff. Shout out to those folks. Because, again, that game is so good. If you have not played that game at this point, you need to go get it. And the DLC. Did you play any of the DLC yet?
I played all of it. I bought the collector's edition. You can't see. You can sort of see the box behind me.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as it was available, I was sitting there like, so PlayStation Store, can we... And now I have it on PC, so I'm going to replay it on the I Need Diverse Games side so people can actually hear the cutscenes since it's on PC.
Oh.
Assuming I can get it to run.
Yeah. True that.
It is so good. And I'm like hoping that since you got it with the DLC and stuff that you have all those cool outfits. Mm-hmm. You can outfit.
I'm not running around that Cheech and Chong outfit. No.
You got to.
Like, it's 68. I can't look like that, run around, be like, I'm a black dude, and it's like, that just screams hippie. Like, they're gonna drag my ass off the street.
Good point. Any last games in there, or are we gonna jump into Reef?
No, let's go to Reef, because it's just like, I've just been piddling with stuff here and there, nothing of consequence besides stuff I named.
Yeah. Reef, what do you got? What have you been playing?
So I streamed a playthrough of Life is Strange Before the Storm. So, you know, it's like the prequel to Don't Nod's Life is Strange. I really, really enjoyed the first Life is Strange. So I was, you know, but like I went into this one with some trepidation because I knew that they had replaced, you know, the main voice actress of Chloe Ashley Birch because of the voice actor writer strike and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just know how hard it is to follow up a surprise hit because now you have all this pressure on you and you kind of have to deliver. But I must say that I definitely had some problems with it, but I left overall positive on it. Definitely didn't blow me away like the first one did. But I do think that, you know, if you enjoyed the first one, I think there's a lot to like here. If you didn't enjoy the first one, I don't think this necessarily does that much different to bring sort of new people in, or like it's not, I don't think, going to change people's minds that, you know, didn't really enjoy the first one. But you know, if you want more Life is Strange, I mean, this is more Life is Strange, you know. Because it doesn't involve like the character from the first game, Max, that, you know, had these like supernatural abilities, it is more about, you know, like the story as opposed to, you know, like the story plus this kind of supernatural stuff. There's some of that, but like, so it plays a little more like a classic kind of point and click game, and I just enjoyed it. And like the chat was on fire while I was playing. It was like hilarious. I had a good time with it. And they also show you the origin of why Chloe says hella all the time.
Oh, really?
It's in Oregon.
That's great.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I had fun with that. I've also been playing a bunch of NBA 2K18. Won't go into the details because we might, you know, have some guests on where we can really dive into that. But I will say, and like I was talking about this with like Yuka, is I I am a little frustrated with the game. I mean, the game itself is great. The core basketball game is excellent. Mm-hmm. The My Career mode and the My Gym mode are both great, and I love that I can play like both of them on the go on the Switch. Mm. But man, does the game really, 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 really incentivize you to buy some VC. which I, you know, for those aren't in the know, is the virtual currency, which is essentially like you're paying to upgrade your character faster. So it's sort of like a free to play kind of model, which I usually don't mind as long as you have a sense of advancing without it. And it's just progressing a little too slow for my taste. But like every time I get like frustrated, I jump into the My GM mode, which has, you might not expect it, has a pretty like zany story. Like it is like kind of has some laugh out loud funny moments of you like managing like this team, like the situations that like come up. I was kind of like, wow, they're really having fun with this with this game and like and like this like parody of like owners, how like zany these like old rich people can be when they own these teams, and like the different excuses that players might have when they miss practice, and just it's like pretty funny. Like I'm really having a good time, and I typically don't get into the GM modes of franchise games, but yeah, I'm having a great time with it, and I'm looking forward to FIFA, which I should have on Saturday as well.
Nice.
Yep. The game that I've been playing a lot, which I played a lot of today actually, in between my tutoring sessions, has been SteamWorld Dig 2.
Oh yeah, please get into that, because I keep hearing everyone talk about how much they love it.
Yeah, it's a really good game. The like original was like, I know it was out on the 3DS. I think it dropped on some other platforms as well, but like I think it dropped first on the 3DS. It's essentially like a Metroidvania kind of game, which like means it's like an adventure game where you unlock stuff and you go back to like a previous areas to access, you know, parts that you couldn't previously access because you got new hooks and shovels and stuff. It's called SteamWorld Dig because essentially you're a miner and you're digging. So you're going down, 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 left, left, right, and you're exploring all these dungeons and these caves, and you find like minerals. You sell them to like upgrade your gear. And there's all kind of like cool like weapons from like shovels to like hook shots to like projectile kind of like weapons. The dialogue is like pretty funny. It's like all these kind of like zany like miners and stuff with this really weird like quirky attitudes. So like the game is, it's like definitely a fun game, and like a funny game as well. And it has a nice challenge. Like there's some puzzles that I had to kind of step away from, and then when I came back, I kind of had that, oh yeah, kind of like moment, which I think kind of marks the best kind of puzzle games. Like for me is where they're hard enough that I don't get them on the first try, but not so frustrating that I can't get it after the 10th try.
Right, you know? Right.
The music is outstanding. It has this great hand-drawn art style, which like especially pops, you know, on like a mobile screen, on the Switch, but like it's like also out on the PS4 and a PC as well. I don't think it's on Xbox, but yeah, I'm having a blast with it. I would definitely advise, if you're into adventure games, there is a platforming aspect to it as well, but it's mostly about, you know, just digging around, finding stuff, and like a leveling up. I would definitely say check out SteamWorld Dig 2. It is pretty awesome.
Since the game is surrounded and kind of fixated on miners, any conversations between them about economic anxiety?
You know, you know, that part might come up. DLC? I don't know. I mean, I mean the news, you know, like our news stations are very interested in, you know, why are you voting against your own interests? I haven't seen that dialogue bubble come up yet.
Wow.
I'm waiting for racist fire chief DLC.
Though I will say that they kind of I think combated that, because your character is like a blue robot.
Oh, okay.
And like and like, you know, it's like Doug. All the characters like green and blue and pink and purple and white as well. You know, so yeah, you know, I haven't run into any Trump voters yet, but no, it's a truly fun game. It's a really fun game, and like, it looks outstanding on the PC and the PS4 as well, on like a big screen. It looks really, really good, so check it out, guys. I like it a lot.
Word. I have been digging into a couple of games. Of course, I've been playing a lot of Destiny, trying to get my character up to close to 300 so I can try to get the raid easily done and not have to spend 17 days to try to get a raid done. Spending a lot of time back in NBA 2K. I have been doing the MyGM stuff too, and you're right. Like, I really think that when they talked about that mode, they talked about wanting to do a story mode in a way that, you know, was kind of fun. And I feel like they're hitting some of those notes. Once I figure out how to get some videos off my PS4 and onto my PC again, I will probably take off my actual camera and just have my MyGM mimicked face, who does this all the time when he talks, because yeah, they don't really do anything. They just kind of go like this, and they kind of just make this face, and they kind of just like, in a loop, which is kind of dope. So you may just see that be me for a whole episode, and just be me doing the voice over there. And especially now since Melo got traded from the Knicks, rest in peace Knicks, rip Knicks. I've been redoing my league pass, not league pass, my league stuff. I forgot the name for it. There's an actual name for it. Anyway. Trying to get that stuff done and putting Melo on OKC and trying to see what the deal looks like from that end. And it's not, it was funny because the first game that I played with Melo on the Knicks, he got hurt and Porzingis got hurt in the first game. So literally my season was over in the first game. And now I'm hoping that no one gets hurt in the newest part of my franchise season in this one. So we'll see about that. But the other game that I've been playing that is super dope, and you need to go cop this joint, it's called Ruiner. Ruiner from Devolver Digital is one of the dopest games I've gotten to play in the past couple weeks. And there have been so many games that you could say that about this year. But Ruiner, everything from the art style to the best, I think it's literally the best soundtrack I've heard in 2017 on a game.
Wow. Nice.
It is cyberpunk out the anus. It is so good. It's like this top-down isometric camera. Really beautiful, super violent, but it's so cool because it just feels like, oh man, like it feels like Akira. It feels like all the good anime that you've ever gotten a chance to see mixed in with a Suda 51 game, mixed in with Devil May Cry, mixed in with a whole bunch of other kind of really fun experiences. And it just feels like everything feels tactile. Everything feels really good when you shoot, when you use your melee weapons. All those things just feel really, really tight. I haven't had a chance to play it on the PS4 yet. I have been having, not issues, because I use a Elite controller on the PC, Xbox Elite controller on the PC, and it feels weird. Like, it feels, when they add maneuvers and powers to your character, that they feel mapped in a really weird way. Which usually controllers feel better, and mm-hmm. I don't know if playing this in mouse and keyboard is even doable, but it doesn't feel as good. Maybe even it's on the Xbox pad versus a PS4 pad. I'll give some more information on that once I play it on PS4. But overall,
I'll let you know, because I put out a poll on what I'm gonna play during my Reef streams this week.
Yeah,
Ruiner is leading by a wide margin.
Oh yeah, I'm excited to see you play it.
Yeah, and like, I'll be playing it using mouse mouse and keyboard. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh my God, you want to play that game with mouse and keyboard? You're a madman.
I am. I mean, I do have my Xbox One controller just in case it gets too crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I'm gonna start out with it.
Okay. Yeah. So it's super good. I'm telling everyone that if you do not cop this game in 2018, you are making a mistake. If you like that kind of fast paced, breakneck speed kind of stuff, then you need to cop it. And the other game that I'm not playing yet, but I'm amazingly excited for, is going to drop in a couple of hours as of our Thursday recording, and that's Cuphead. Cuphead. Yeah. Everybody and their mama have been waiting for that joint for about 3 years. And now it's about to drop, and no one's going to see me for the next 4 hours. Once that game comes out, I may not go to bed.
Are you still excited about it?
That game,
I've just lost my luster for that game, man. Like, it's, I still want to play it, but
yeah,
it's just, I've been talking about it too damn long, man.
Well, Cuphead, there are very few games that will keep my interest after you've had your, your first trailer, after you had your first kind of push out into the world, and people, you know, talk about it and they share it. That game has had such a hold on me because of the art style in it, which harkens back to all the stuff that I remember as a child. I'm usually not one of those people who's like stuck on nostalgia like that, but I feel like Cuphead is for the culture. You know what I mean? Like Cuphead, because they took the time to individually draw and illustrate and animate each one of these scenes and parts of the game. I feel like I have to support that just for the sake of them being able to pull that off. And to see that it's a Shump, if you're not familiar with Shump, those are like kind of side scrolling shoot 'em ups.
I think shmup, but
shmup. Shump.
Shoot 'em up. Shmup.
Shmup,
damn it. Shmup you in the face.
I'll get Iman Shumpert to shmump you. but I feel like I have to reward them with my dollar. Like, I feel like I have to. Tanya, are you even excited about Cuphead at all? Like, have you had a chance to check any of that stuff out?
And, dug it at all? I saw IGN. I saw Danny over Gamertag streaming it. And I was like, this just reminds me of all the racist-ass Disney cartoons I saw growing up. I was like,
yo, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, if I see some Dumbo crows... You know what I'm saying? Like, going around. Honestly, what gets me more than the animation is the music. I love the music in, like, Cuphead. Like, in what I've seen so far.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to play it, but I just, it's just hard for me to, it was like the same thing with, like, No Man's Sky. Like, it's just hard for me to keep it after so many years. It's hard for me to, even if the game is good. I'm thinking of all the games that I'm already super excited about that I haven't got to play yet.
Yeah.
And like Cuphead just kind of goes to the middle or end of that. So we'll see.
Well, and I also saw how hard that fucking game was, because everybody that streamed it early could only show the first two worlds.
Right.
Like, I don't need cartoony Dark Souls in my life.
Imagine cartoony Dark Souls. Yo, cartoony Dark Souls would be so dope. No, I'm kind of, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of excited for the fact that it is hard. Like, shumps, I don't care how you say it, whatever. I shump it.
That sounds dirty.
thruster bust, really hashtag does. Thruster bust. I feel like that game, because it looks cute and it's really hard, that's the reason I'm like super excited for it. But Speaking of things, actually, because this got dropped today, before we get into some of the news of the show, Red Dead 2 got its trailer shared today. If you didn't get a chance to see it, go to rockstargames.com, I believe, and you'll be able to see it, or any of the other thousands of video game sites that have probably run that story in that video at this point. Did either one of you get a chance to check out the trailer for the game?
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't? Reef, what about you?
I saw it.
Yeah, so, what were your thoughts?
I mean, you know, it's a...
Wow!
I mean... Wow. Look, it's like the same thing with, like...
Jeez, wet blanket reef, Jesus.
No, I am just... I hate to say it. I think Red Dead, in general, a little overrated as a franchise.
Wow. I don't think it's bad.
But I just don't get why people are so, like, the trailer to me was like, I was like, okay, like, great. Like, it didn't do anything to get me more excited about the game. You know, I'm gonna play it. But, like, yes, it's just not one of those games that, you know, I played through the first one. I thought it was good. But, you know, honestly, I'm more excited about freaking, like, a remake of, like, L.A. Noire than I am Red Dead 2. So
I can't front. Like, I loved Red Dead 1. Red Dead 1 was too long. I don't think it was overrated, but I do think in comparison to the Grand Theft Auto games, it doesn't hold up as well. Like, honestly, I would go into Red Dead just to look at the vistas that were really beautifully done and all that stuff. And I'm kind of looking forward to that too in the second game. But I'm kind of in the same boat as you. When I saw the trailer today, this morning, I was like, oh, it's fucking Cowboys. And Cowboys was never a thing that got me hype. I was like, yo, look at these people run around in the wilderness, and I bet you there ain't no black people in it.
Even though most cowboys were black.
We know that, and you know that, but, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but no, I've heard from a lot of people that say they think Red Dead is Rockstar's best game. And I'm like, really? Like, over GTA 5? Over Bully?
Why? Because you know what,
which
though?
I thought it was incredible. I don't know.
I think they get to do a lot more with the graphical engines that they are using in a Red Dead than they do in a GTA game. And I think they get the ability to shine in a different way that shows the intricacies of what it takes to be a AAA dev. Because I think one of the things that they have in that conversation, this was something that I remember them talking about in the first Red Dead, was they do a really good job of going out and sourcing material that they want to put in game. So they'll go out and have film crews and camera crews go out and film stuff and pull back assets and things like that to put in the game for reference material. And they are one of the best companies to do that kind of work because they fine-tooth comb everything. I don't know if that makes a great game. I think it adds to the game and adds to the atmosphere, but I don't know if it makes a great game in the end. So we'll see. I mean, everybody in the chat, everybody on Twitter, everybody in the podcast world, let us know what you thought about some of that stuff. Yeah, let us know, because I would love to know what people's sentiments are, because I know it's kind of either or. People are really high or really low on that game. So yeah, let us know about that stuff.
I mean, I'm more excited just to see you know, a company like a Rockstar making a game just for this platform, right? That's what I'm more excited about. It doesn't matter what game it is. I'm like, you know, like, people forget that GTA 5 is a last generation game,
right?
You know? So, like, this is, like, as far as I think of, is their first game, not only in the PS4 and One era, but in the Pro and Xbox One X sort of mid era. You know, so, like, I'm expecting them to really, really make a really pretty looking game at the very least.
Right. Well, that being said, there are a couple of other stories that we want to run into before we hit our break. I know that there was one about, and we kind of touched on this a little bit talking about Ruiner, but this one is having to do with about making game controllers, or can game controllers get any better than where they are? So you can go into that story for us, Ree.
Sure. Yeah. So on Kotaku, Kirk Hamilton wrote this story on game controllers, right? And it's a pretty good read because it, like, kind of goes into the history of controllers. Oh, excuse me. I don't know why I kind of... controllers.
That's great.
Were you having a Janet Jackson moment? Were you about to break into control?
Controllers.
I might. I still have a good chunk of the Rhythm Nation, at least the beginning, the choreography. I would dance in front of my TV screen, guys. That's what I did, okay? Because like, there's, like, always a battle between, like, people like, oh, yeah, I prefer the Xbox One controller, I prefer the PS4 controller, you know? And to me, it's like, you know, I feel like, specifically with, like, Microsoft and Sony, because obviously, like, Nintendo's been changing their controllers almost every generation. I feel like there's a known controller way now, and I don't really see it changing that much. specifically from those two companies with the dual analog and your control pad or control buttons and your four buttons and your triggers, right? I'm not really counting things like the PS4 touchpad because honestly, I don't necessarily think that adds much to gaming like functionality that I really see in like most of the PS4 games that like I play. But it's an interesting thing where I don't really know how much more they can evolve that form of controller, you know? You know, even like Nintendo has like their like Pro controller, which is essentially exactly like the Xbox One, in like addition to like you know, obviously like the Joy-Cons of like the Switch, which is like totally different. In the article, they also talk about Razer and Scuf, so like these like third party kind of controllers, which are different sizes and like shapes than the Microsoft and the Sony controllers as well. And believe it or not, there are fans of these third party like controllers. I know a lot of people think of like Mad Cats and sort of they have that bad kind of reputation of just throwing anything plastic with some buttons in it. and that's why they're like not really around anymore. But you know, there are fans of these other like controllers, right? And like Akai, I know you mentioned earlier that you have a Elite controllers for the Xbox. Yep. So like now they have these, you know, customizable like controllers where like you can potentially, you know, like move things around and like you know, and that opens up a like whole realm of like possibilities of like there might be people that, you know, like their dead zone to be bigger or like smaller or like more resistance on the analog sticks, or maybe even like have it where like you can separate them like the Joy-Cons on the Switch, you know. So it's a great story about like, you know, how can controllers really change, and is there a perfect controller? So I wanted to kind of throw it out to you guys. Do you see like controllers changing like significantly, specifically from like Microsoft and like Sony, in the near future, or do you think that it's just going to be kind of small iterations on what they already have? I'll start with Tanya.
I don't think they're going to change too much. Because I've got a PS4 controller sitting in front of me right now. And hasn't changed much. You know, I've actually got an Elite controller as well. I don't think they're really going to change because the formula works. People know what to expect. I don't know if the Xbox One X controller is any different. But for me, you know, thinking about like the NES, SNES, etc., up to what we have now, I think we're kind of at a good spot. I think these Elite controllers, these customizable ones, are the next step. They may or may not come from the first party folks, because you can't be responsible for what people want / need, because a lot of the stuff is catered toward competitive players as well. You know, my Elite's cool, but you know, I'm not here trying to be a competitive player for anything,
right? Yeah, that's a good point that you bring up, like the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo, because if you think of in the 8-bit and 16-bit and the 32-bit eras, like the controllers were pretty wildly different like between the systems. I mean, like you had everything from the freaking like Atari Jaguar controller with like a million buttons on it, to like you know, like the original box NES controller. And then of course you have like the Atari like joystick and one button like controller. Like they really have changed a lot before they've kind of like settled on this kind of standard. Because I don't think there's much difference between like PS3 and PS4 controller or 360 and the One. I mean, there are small things here and there.
The 360 but like, and the One do have some differences. Like I think the X button in the middle is bigger.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Kai, what do you think? Do you think it'll be small iterations, or you think that there'll be some wild changes coming around?
I mean, it's the interesting part is, and I think that this is the part that actually is kind of the most disappointing that I'm hearing or seeing in the space when it comes to, you know, our input devices. The coolest stuff that I've seen right now was in the VR space, so with like the Oculus Touch and the HTC Vive stuff. But for, you know, console games that are going to be played for the next couple of years, it feels like people have stood pat, and that to me is a little bit disappointing. Like, I was super excited when the PS3 was about to come out with a boomerang looking controller. It looked like a batarang.
You were the like only that, one like, excited.
Like, I mean, I'm sure my carpal tunnel would have been like, fuck you, but it was kind of cool to see that someone was going to try to look a little bit outside the box. I was hoping that the folks over at Xbox were going to maybe switch things up a little bit with the Xbox One X and maybe do not a full redesign of the controller, because I think that their controller currently with the asymmetrical sticks is the kind of standard for their console and for the folks who like that larger controller. And it was nice to see on the Xbox One Elite controller the addition of the pads and all those things. And I kind of wish that stuff kind of migrated down. And even if it wasn't a full migration over to the kind of standard that you would get in the box, that there was another option for you to get, another version of even the Elite controller that would be something that was more refined. Currently, right now, it just feels like all the things that we've already had are kind of going to stay this way. Having had enough perspective in the space to be like, well, I've had everything from a paddle on the Atari. Sweet. To, you know, like, you know, a 10 button controller now. I don't know where else you can go besides bringing back VMUs, which I would totally be down for. I would love another kind of thing that goes along with your controller like we had in the Dreamcast era. I thought that was super innovative, and I thought that it was something that brought something new to the table. So I don't know. It would be cool. It would be really dope to see somebody do something different. The only person to do that was Steam, and that with the haptic controllers really work well. Because you really need that tactile feedback. How was it? Did you have one?
Yeah, I got one. I really tried to like it, man. I just could not get into using touch, like two touch pads for everything.
Yeah.
It was a great idea trying to give you that accuracy that you would feel with a mouse on a controller. There is definitely a dedicated group of people that like it, but man, I tried and just went right back to the Xbox controller because it just was a little too radical for me. And this is coming from someone that's played with a Wii U gamepad and Switch Joy-Cons and these various like crazy PC like controllers that we used to have to use like before, you know, before the like our console ones were actually like compatible. We had to use all kind of Logitech controllers and, you know, and just bad controllers.
God, those Logitech controllers back in the day were so bad.
Yeah,
they were so awful on PC, so bad.
Yeah, exactly. But that Steam controller, man, it's not good.
I mean, hopefully we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe the next console that we have, they'll come out with something that's fairly dope and new, and maybe we'll see what the next thing is. And I don't think that'll happen until VR becomes a thing where it actually becomes something that moves us forward in another direction. So we shall see. The folks over at Bandai Namco are doing something kind of new and fun. If you are a person who frequents the casino, you may see one of these new Pac-Man machines that they have where you can basically play Pac-Man for real money and gamble with the people who are at the table. So if you've ever seen one of those cocktail style old school arcade machines where basically you're looking down at the screen and the controllers are on the tabletop, they have a version of this for Pac-Man. It's called Pac-Man Battle Casino, which is a terrible name.
It's like PUBG.
Oh my God. That is a shitty name. It's like noun, verb, adjective, the game. Wow. So they've partnered with the folks from Gamblet Gaming to adapt a Pac-Man machine for the casino floor, adding real money betting to a game that already had a reputation for being a dangerous quarter eater. So you get two or four people on the machine. You can bet between $2 and $20. The thing that changes it is, let's see, you can't heighten the stakes if you realize you're winning, but the prize for the last Pac-Man standing isn't determined by the bets that you've made. Instead, it's all up to a prize wheel that spits out a randomly generated figure per round. So, like, if you won, it does the spin of the wheel, and whatever number that it hits, that's the amount of money you get.
Yep.
What? Okay. So, I have thoughts about that. Tanya, I want to go to you first, though.
That just seems weird.
What do you?
It seems like cashing in on nostalgia, which people do all the time. I mean, the mini SNES is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
But it's just like, I feel weird gambling with Pac-Man. Like, I just feel dirty, man. Like, here, take a roll of quarters, but why I gotta bet on Pac-Man? Like, that's just wrong.
But you're controlling it. You get to determine if you win or not. No, that's dope.
I don't know. It's just weird. I think
that's so dope.
It's probably my own hang up, but I'm just like, and I'm weird, I admit this. But I'm just like, it's Pac-Man, it's part of my childhood. It's one of the few things that I'm just like, no, don't touch it, like old Tom and Jerry.
I get that. Reef, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, now I'm thinking about a Tom and Jerry gambling game where you're Jerry and you have to run and you bet your money if Tom catches you. That'd be pretty awesome. I fucking love this. And the reason I love this is because, you know, I think this is, not saying I would ever play this, but seeing games being taken out of, you know, sort of, I guess arcades aren't really here anymore, but out of movie theaters, I guess, and like put in a quote-unquote adult area and being actual money, I think, you know, really shows that people are, number one, taking these games kind of serious, and they realize that there are people that compete on these things. Like, I would fucking love it if there was a goddamn, like, Street Fighter 2 cabinet at a casino and you could freaking bet money, right? And, like, play people. Like, I think that would be awesome. You know? So, like, I like this. I think it kind of ties into why I like to watch esports as well, like when stakes are on the line and that kind of stuff, you know. I think it makes it for more thrilling things. And the reason that I like this is because essentially there's multiple Pac-Men on the screen and there's the same four ghosts, and you can eat other Pac-Men. So you can eat other players, but everybody can get killed by the ghosts. So you basically have to avoid the ghosts and you have to eat other Pac-Men. Now, I'm not sure what happens if like two Pac-Men face each other and try to eat each other. I don't know if that rips a hole in the space-time Pac-Man continuum. I'm not sure. But no, I do like this. Like, I think of all the competitive games that I love to watch and I love to play. And, you know, I think putting a betting element in there in an adult place, you know, where you can't bring kids and all that stuff, I think is like pretty dope.
Yeah.
So
I am so in favor of this. I think this is one of the best ideas that has ever come to casino gambling, because it takes chance out of the equation, which I love. Cause then that's like, you're not really playing the house. You're playing the other people. And if you beat the other people just because you have skill, then you should deserve to win some stuff. Whatever you actually win is determined by a chance, because you get basically a multiplier or whatever the spin of the wheel says. But you're guaranteed money if you win. You can win a good amount of money, at least in the diagram or the picture that they showed in the article. They want that person, whoever that was, won like $600 or whatever won $600. One of the interesting parts about this is something that Maddie Myers brings into question or brings up as a topic in the article, and she says, in the casino version of the game, though, wouldn't it behoove competitors to team up and counter the ghosts together? They then split up all the final winnings.
Isn't that any card game, like blackjack or poker in a casino, like that?
But that's chance, though. That's like chance about what you pull from whatever card you get from the deck.
Probability. I mean, there's definitely people that. I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that card games like that aren't 100% random. Like, you can
sure
You can count cards. Use probability to do it. But like I'm just saying, like I always, now I don't gamble really, but I definitely hear that, you know, there's some people that go to a blackjack table and they act like they're not working together and they actually are, and they, you know, kind of set each other up. So I feel like that is always there in a gambling environment. Unless you're playing,
I'm just excited,
like roulette or something. That's like completely random, you know.
I feel like this feeds into my Chuck E. Cheese obsession. So this is like when you go, don't make
Why
that face,
Sonny.
I
see
you.
See, Sharif, no, I made the face. He verbalized it.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay. The better version of that.
Real
I'm sorry.
Shady,
not,
my man.
Not Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, like Dave and Buster's.
Okay. Okay. Right? That's
so
more
like so Dave and Buster's, where they have like these carnival games that people can play, and you win tickets, and you spend 4,000 million tickets on one stuffed animal, and then you go home and you're sad and shit. That's not the part that I like. I like the part where there are a couple of games that are less about chance and more about skill or eye-hand coordination. So, quick story. A friend of mine, we went and took their kids to Dave and Buster's to let them run around, and we all kind of had like a adult play date, and the kids were doing stuff. And I was like, hey, do you want to win tickets? And the kids were like, yeah, we want to win tickets. Yeah, we want to do it. I like how all kids sound the same. And I was like, all right, cool. Come with me over to this one particular thing. And it has like the kind of circle of lights that go around. And you have to basically time it so that you can hit the jackpot.
Okay.
I've been known to break the bank on those machines. So like if you give me about 10 minutes, I get my eye-hand coordination and my timing down. I will empty out a machine. And to the point now humble where brag. I can call it to humble brag, I will win you all them tickets. So it's at this point where I can do that stuff and I can continuously win. So I'm like, that's a form of like, I can beat the system, but this is even better because you're not even playing the system. You're playing the other people. So I'm like, that's so good. That's so damn good. I'm happy about that. I want more of it. I wasn't hustling kids. I see you chat. I was hustling Chucky and Dave. David and Buster was getting their asses beat by me.
Dave and Buster. So basically, don't play cards with you is what I'm hearing.
I hate cards. I'm not a card player. Like you can beat my ass in a card game, but anything that takes like eye hand coordination, I will probably give you the business on that.
Okay,
I'll probably do some work.
So
on
no
that.
Spades.
So like,
that's it.
I can. You can play if you play. What is it? What's the slap one?
Bid.
Spit. Bid or spit or something like that. I don't even know. They all the card games. I don't know that people made fun of me because I was black and didn't know how to play card games.
See, I don't have my old enough black person card yet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I'm so bad at spit or speed because I just don't have the hand-eye coordination, man. I just can't get the cards out fast enough. It just doesn't matter. Like my brain thinks it, but my hand doesn't react.
Word, I feel you on that. It's yeah, I love stuff like that. So more games like that, I am totally down for. But we're about to take our break. I don't want you to be fast on this thing. I want you to be real slow. Go get yourself some water. Everybody go get some time to hang out. And we'll be right back after this.
What's the matter? We so matter. What's the matter? Got my hands in the clouds while we ducking police rounds. Marvin Gaye's in his grave, Vanny's turning. We on that pressure cooker and we slowly burning. Mercy, mercy me, what's going on? It's so concerning. Came up indoctrinated, it's so hard to unlearn it. I tell you it's kinda scary to try to bring a kid in this. Tell them to do what is right and then get killed in this. Gotta be deep as a mob, survival of the fit. Two halves make a whole, I'm still 3/5 most y'all. What's the 4-year plan looking like? Well, I don't know. What's the 8-year plan looking like? Well, I don't know. How could I answer that? We ain't promised tomorrow. Tell me think ahead, grind. Rest is for the dead still. Got me walk around like I done made my bed still. Though don't grow on trees still, I need to get my plate filled. Coppers with the heat like we back up on the grill again. Never ending cycle, wonder why it makes a cycle singing. What's the matter? We so matter. What's the matter? Got my hands in the clouds while we ducking police rounds. What's the matter? Ooh, ooh, we so mad. Ooh, ooh, what's the matter? Ooh, ooh, got my hands in the clouds while we ducking police rounds. I say glory, glory, hallelujah. Illuminati causing static in my medulla. Enemies move like intruders. Standing on your front porch, they I'ma do ya. Now I'ma school ya, like lean on me. No Islam, still I keep the peace on me. Assalamu alaikum to my big homies. Either way, I still don't touch the pigs, homie. Holy, holy, I think I might be Bruce or Clyde. Gliding over the Gotham sky, seeing visions that'll bruise your mind. Black Jesus was crucified, radio was choked out. These are type of things they never spoke about. Still, these be the things that we known about. Keep it on the down low, never take the known route. Quietly, secret society, all we ask is trust. And stay prepared for when the enemies clash with us. Get your mind right.
Welcome back to the Spawn on Me podcast. If you were hanging out in the Twitch chat and you saw the wonderful old show with Cicero on it and nobody talking, that was great. That was awesome. That was the way that streaming works because we're professional Manals. Anywho, we got one more story before we get up out of here for episode 192 of the show. Let's see. Which one do we want to pick? Actually, there was a really cool announcement that came out. I think it was either yesterday or today. If you're a fan of Assassin's Creed, their new game, Assassin's Creed Origins, is coming out really soon. Make sure that you pay attention to our YouTube channel as well, because I was down at an event last week for the game and got to see some of what we're going to talk about now in person. And also, I'll be sharing some really cool gameplay stuff that I took on the 4th. I'm embargoed until then, so can't say much about that. But stick around and make sure that you come back for that. But Assassin's Creed is doing this really cool exclamation point exploration mode where they're basically going to kind of like let you go through the scenes as if it was a walking tour of some of the spaces that are going to be in the game and some of the artifacts and some of the history that you'll see kind of in this game. I know that I was wondering why this wasn't a thing that happened before in any of the Assassin's Creed games, because it feels like it lends itself perfectly to that. Reef, what are some of your thoughts about some of the cool stuff that you're going to see in Assassin's Creed, especially with this new kind of history mode, this tourist mode that they're going to have?
I think this is an important thing that needs to happen with specifically with AAA games, because game developers put so much into immersing you in an environment. They put so much into having like background dialogue and interactions to make the world seem living and breathing, you know? And I oftentimes say, I just want to walk through here. And there's oftentimes where, you know, if there's a pause between like an action sequence or a combat sequence in a game, I will go through and sort of soak up the environment. Like I did that a lot in BioShock. I did a lot in, you know, in like Fallout, you know? So I really like that Ubisoft is taking that, realizing that there's a demand for it, and not only letting you sort of walk around, but also putting specific things in there, like watching a body get mummified and actually going through the historical and scientific steps that actually happen there. So I feel like they're really kind of setting this up to not only be sort of an extended non-combat thing, but also, you know, setting this up to actually be educational. You know, I'll be really curious to see if people can embed this into presentations and into school reports and into things like that. Like instead of, you know, going to Wikipedia and looking up stuff on Egypt, you know, if this thing is really as detailed and as comprehensive for the time period, then I'm pretty sure it will be, you know, this could be a real resource. And I think that, you know, with game devs putting all this effort into these worlds, I think this is great. And I hope that other companies that have the means, I realize all companies don't have the means. You kind of got to be one of the big ones to even imagine probably doing something like this. I think it's great. This is why I really look forward to some games that have like commentary modes
where you
literally just like go from like a prompt to a prompt, and like a person will kind of talk to you about like what they were thinking when they were like developing this. This kind of like reminds me of that idea, just in an entire mode. And it's great for people like, you know, like a me, who really love to see sort of like the love and care that people really put in these worlds. So I'm super, super excited for this.
Yeah. Tanya, what are your thoughts about the exploration mode?
I'm super excited. Now I want to give a shout out and some love to Anne LeMay, who's working on it.
Nice.
Because Anne is a great writer, and she's a big nerd about history, so I have no doubt it's going to be amazing. And this is going to be dangerous, because I'm already one of those people that will like just kind of wander around in games, especially open world games. So knowing that Anne is one of the people working on it, and knowing that I'm a big nerd for Assassin's Creed, and hopefully by the time this comes out, I will have finished the game, so I can just roam around. Let me, like, roam an open world game. And it's what I do. It's like what I do in The Witcher. And the fact that they're encouraging people to do it. And for me, I'm a terrible history student. This will actually encourage me to learn some history. Because I'm really bad at it. It was one of my worst subjects in school. So, like Sharif said, I think it's a way to use the medium to teach. And I'm really excited to see what people do with it.
It was cool when they talked about it at the event. I can talk about this part. And they showed it off in a way that, you know, you're walking through a scene, and if you've ever been on a walking tour, you have the little, you know, audio device that lets you kind of walk through a space, and then you come upon a thing, and then it starts to talk to you about what you've seen. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be cool, cuz it's going to be able to do that in the game engine, in the atmosphere in which you're walking through it, but also it'll be parts in there that are gameplay related and not, which is going to be cool. So like, you'll get some of the background behind some of the people you're going to meet, but also, like you said, that one particular part with the mummification stuff, and I'm sure they're going to go into some of the stuff about the pyramids and some of the locales and locations that you're going to be in. So I'm really excited for it. I feel like it could be something that would be even cooler if they had a VR mode. That would be funky. That would be super dope. But, you know, I'm happy that they even thought about kind of putting something like this in the game, when that game is already going to be chock full of stuff to do. You will not have need for things to do in that game when it comes out. A lot of fun stuff going on with the Assassin's Creed stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it like also makes me think of, in the same way that we were like suggesting to Ben last episode, Longshot is so dope. Will it be available in a standalone mode for people that just care about that? What if this catches on and becomes a standalone? Like, if you're not, you know, if like you don't care about sort of open world action games, if you just want this, you know, maybe you can just get that, and like maybe there'll be some kind of educational license thing like they do with Minecraft, where you can just buy a bunch of them for schools and, you know, and like use it for that. I mean, there's just so many opportunities, and I feel like this is really the power of gaming, you know, and of making these like wonderful worlds that we all love. So there's so many possibilities for this. I'm super excited.
Yeah, imagine LA Noir with some of this kind of stuff, or, you know, imagine some other games, like, you know, weirdly games that don't necessarily always have to deal with history, but also stuff that has to do with lore. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, The Witcher. Tanya mentioned that. I mean, The Witcher would just be amazing. It'd be amazing.
Yeah,
it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the God of War version of this. In some weird way, I mean, in some weird way, like, because then you get to dig into like Greek and Roman mythology,
yeah,
and some other stuff. So yeah, there's like really cool bits in there that everyone can kind of dig into. So, we have a pretty short show this week, but we want to thank everybody for coming and hanging out with us tonight. We're gonna boogie up out of here, but before we do, we got to definitely get the social media business. And Reef, I will let you handle that.
Sure. If you are listening to the audio podcast, remember that we stream every Thursday, 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern, twitch.tv/spawnonme. You can subscribe either with your Amazon Prime subscription or by throwing us a little change of, I don't know, is this still September?
It is.
Oh, yep. I'll tell you.
Yep.
For okay. 2 more days.
So maybe on the audio one, it might be past that. But you could like subscribe for like $4.99 a month normally, or, you know, if it's September, $2.50, or you can do it for free with the Amazon Prime. So definitely check it out. Join the chat, make fun of Ka in the chat. It's all good.
Please.
Our website is spawnon.me. That'll give you an archive of like all the shows, all of our about stuff. And there's links for Spawn for Good and like all the other stuff that we do with the platform as well. If you want to send us a like email, that's spawnonmepodcast@gmail.com. If you can't fit all of your thoughts into 140 characters or 280 characters.
No, 280.
If you're one of the lucky tweeter people that got the upgrade. And you can tweet us at Spawn On Me. And we also have a Facebook page at Spawn On Me Podcast as well. And, of course, you can find us in all of your podcast readers and catchers and slingers of choice. But, like, most people do grab it on, like, either iTunes, Google Play, or NPR One. So check us out.
Word. Again, thank you everybody for hanging out tonight. Thank you for coming back this week. We're at 811 followers. We're getting close to our 1,000 goal. We may have to push that back until October, but we made some big ground this month. So thank you to everyone who's come through. And we also have just hit 52 subscribers on Twitch. Woo! So in another 7 or 8, we'll be able to even add another tier of emotes and stuff like that. So again, let us know what you want our new emotes to be, hashtag Som emote, and then we can figure out what we want to do for the next one. And then we're going to boogie up out of here for episode 192. Thank you all for coming in and hanging out. Be safe. Peace.